Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 27. It's a new year. We're the same old people doing the same old shit.
Is this the first one of the new year?
Last week we spiraled into talking about Long Island at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I asked if anybody knew what a FLID was. I got a couple of answers that were correct.
Really?
And is Jimmy one of them?
No, actually, Jimmy didn't respond. He probably hasn't listened to the episode yet. Yeah, but I got a couple of people that wrote the right thing, and I thought it was so funny. And I'm not gonna say what it is. You got to figure it out on your own.
Something nice.
Like something you look up on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, it stands for Friendly Long Island Dude.
Yeah.
I thought of that after I said it. I was like, anyway, what have you guys been up to, Paul? What have you been doing?
A lot of stuff. I've been working a ton on these stainless railings. I know you guys like when I make railings, but these ones are stainless. I got heat in the shop. It's that portable heater, and I actually did a little modification to it for now, and I have it inside the building, and I'm venting all the exhaust outside with duct work and one of those little vents that closes, you know, when stuff's not coming out of it.
So you think, or you're really just slowly poisoning yourself?
No, I would be able to smell it. It's not like, you know, natural gas or propane where you couldn't smell the fumes. It's diesel. So if it's leaking fumes, you'd be smelling like it would smell like a truck is running. So, and I have everything sealed up. I actually used, well, first my dad got me just regular like metal tape for like duct work, and that melted in like 2 seconds. So then I went to HVAC, like heating and air conditioned supply house. And the guy's like, listen, I don't even have anything for that. He's like, you got to go to an auto parts store and use exhaust tape. And so I got exhaust tape. You had to fix like exhaust leaks. And so I got that and I wrapped it around it. And that seemed to work actually. And I screwed it all together and vented it outside. And it works really good. Like I could run the heater on low and he gets the building, you know, plenty warm. Like sometimes I was even sweating. I was like going to take my shirt off and just wear a t-shirt. Like it works really well. It's 400,000 BTUs. I have to fill it up like once a week. It's like 50 gallons of diesel.
Nice.
So it's not bad. I get
how many BTUs is it again?
400,000.
And how much is the rental?
The rental's expensive. It's like $1,000 a month, but I'm only going to need it for like 2 months, two and a half months till it's March and it's starting to get warmer out. But then we're going to have, you know, regular gas heat in here.
That's not bad. That's
not like terrible.
Cool. Not bad.
No. It's the problem of needing heat. Cause if I didn't have heat in here, it would be just a refrigerator. It'd be like 25 degrees in here. Cause it's been cold lately and it gets cold at night. And the problem is it gets freezing cold at night and then it traps all the cold air during the day. So it would probably be even colder than it would be outside if I didn't have a heater.
Yeah.
The steel makes it like much, much worse too. The steel just absorbs all the heat.
Yeah.
Matt said like his shop, like he notices a difference at his day job. Like they notice a difference when there's more steel in the shop. It's colder.
Oh yeah, probably. Probably because you bring in all this cold steel off of a truck, you know, and it's just sucking up all the heat. Probably takes so much heat to warm up that steel, it's like absorbing it all.
I got a question. You said it was getting so hot in there you were going to take your shirt off. Were you going to be the skins or was Fred going to be skins?
No. My sweatshirt. I was going to wear just a t-shirt.
I'm sorry.
No. Fred's not. I'm not. Fred doesn't. Not allowed to take his shirt off.
Just curious.
Ever.
Just want to make sure.
No shirtless working in the.
No.
So how come you brought the heater inside? Like just.
Because I don't want to have to. Someone's going to steal it. Because it's too easy to steal, and then also it's just annoying bringing it in and out, you know.
Yeah.
And it sucks in air through the back and vents it out the front. So if I left it outside, it would be having to work way harder because it'd be sucking in freezing cold air and having to warm it up. So now it's recirculating the warm air, so it's way more efficient. And I'm just venting the exhaust right out because the exhaust comes out the top. It's made by Wacker, you know that company Wacker that makes like some equipment. They make those little like remote control, like what am I thinking of? Steamrollers.
Yeah, they make
plate compactors, little remote control steamrollers, like all sorts of little things, and they make these heaters, these portable heaters, I guess. So it works pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing when they have those on the construction sites and they all buildings with them and shit.
Yeah. I could see how it would work now that I have one. Like if you had a couple of these, I mean, this building's 12,500 square feet and it heats it up like no problem.
Yeah. Like you said, like we would get into buildings before they were done and they would have them heated. And it's funny, the pots before they put the heat in, it's so cold and damp in them.
Yeah.
When they put the heat on, it's like 100 degrees in one part of the building because they can't really regulate. Keep pumping it in there, you know, so it gets pretty hot in some areas. But they have to if they're going to do, like, all the drywall and all that shit. They can't let it all
freeze. Like, that's the thing. It's like, even if I didn't care about the temperature and I was just going to wear some big, heavy jacket and gloves, like, it's paint and other things that can't be that cold.
Yeah.
So it screws everything up. And then even like the coolant and your machine starts to freeze, saws and the plasma tables and things. So you don't really have an option, even if you wanted to be a tough guy and just be in the cold all day, which sucks.
It affects everything. I mean,
I turn it off at night.
Yeah.
I'm not going to risk that.
I didn't know if it came on by itself or something.
Yeah. I think you can put a thermostat like attached to it. And I don't have that. I just turn it on and off. But that's
it's 43 degrees in my shop on a daily basis, and yesterday when I was there it got pretty cold here last night, and yesterday when I was in there, like, I got in there, it wasn't that bad, and then towards the end of the night I was like, damn, it got cold in there. Everything was like slow. Like I was using like one of the computers on one of the CNC machines, and like every like operation was like slower than it normally is, and I was like, well, it is 40 degrees, you know, these things aren't made to run near freezing. It's not so good.
Ticking time bomb of a heater broken again?
No, well, so I was mainly in the machine shop last night, which has its own heater, but for some reason, so like the heater in the machine shop's a ceiling hung one, and it doesn't have a filter on it, like an intake filter, but for some reason
is it clogged up?
No, but it was like short cycling last night, which is weird. Cause like when you have a filter on a furnace like that, if it can't get enough air, like when the filter in the wood shop gets clogged, it'll short cycle. So it'll run for like 2 minutes, it'll turn off. Then it'll run for 2 minutes, it'll turn off. And for some reason, the ceiling hung one, which has never done this before, was running for like 3 minutes and then it would just stop. And then before the fan would even really turn all the way off, it would kick back on again. So I don't know. They've never been serviced. So I got to get somebody in to like work on them, because I'm probably just wasting a ton of money and gas having them not run properly, you know. But it's like, I don't know. In what is it? In like 2 months, or 3 months, it won't be I won't give a shit anymore.
You know? You'll forget until next year.
Yeah, that's all.
I mean, that's the way, like, it's already middle of January, and yeah. I've used the heat like 4 times. It's like, I don't know.
Buddy, you're all set.
Once you get working, like once you start like moving shit around, like you said, Paul, like the other night I had like 3 sweatshirts on, and then all of a sudden I was like sweating because I had the welding coat on. You got the gloves, so I just do a couple jumping jacks.
What are you gonna do?
I'm just a cheap bastard. What do you want from me?
It's a cheap bastard that has a spending problem, which is an interesting combination.
Listen, I don't know. I don't like to spend money on things that don't almost immediately turn back over into more money.
I thought you were gonna say turn me on.
And like,
what are you talking about?
What?
No gratification and heat.
You buy so much shit that just sits there. You're talking about how you only buy things that turn into more money.
But they all have like paying $300 for one day of heat doesn't like.
It doesn't put more tools. It doesn't put more objects in your shop.
Let me put my referee shirt on. Hold on.
Everything that I purchase has value.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And you know the other thing, too, is like the cost difference is like let's say I wanted the shop to be like 65 degrees for the whole day. That's like $350 worth of natural gas.
Really?
Yeah. For the day, because there have been times where I've
spent $150 on diesel and at the gas station to fill up his heater. It lasts the whole week.
Yeah, well, I don't know. These are old forced air heaters. These heaters are from like 1970. So, like, there was a day that I taught a class, and it was a guy and his son, and it was funny because the guy was like kind of bitching the whole time he was like, oh, his kid was freezing the whole day. The class was in like February. And his kid was cold all day. And he was like, oh, my God, I like told my wife to like put him in warm clothes. And the kid was in like jeans and a T-shirt with like a little flannel.
Jesus Christ.
So I had the heat in the machine shop. The metal shop, I can't get hot. It's just not possible. There's only one duct and it's on the end of the run. Like you can't.
Solution for you.
So, but I had the machine shop cranked so that if the kid got cold, he could go into the machine shop and like warm up.
Yeah.
That month, my gas bill was over $400. And that was the only real day that I had the heat on the entire day.
There's something wrong because that's crazy. Yeah. There's got to be something wrong. Like
Long Island natural gas prices,
maybe. Maybe. What you should do is get. I have this thing that I used to use in my garage. It's a little electric heater. It was like a 240 volt electric heater that plugs into. You could probably get two of them and just put them in whatever room you're in. It'll heat it up no problem. Like I was using it in my garage. When I was working on my motorcycle and it heated up the garage like, you know, in an hour. So that's what you should get, just so you're not dying. And that's gotta be way cheaper than this. I don't know what these gas things are. Maybe gas in Long Island's crazy high, but that's that's expensive. Because I was like wondering how much this was gonna cost, and now I kind of figured it out that I get like 5 or 6 days out of 55 gallons. I just have a 55 gallon drum that I bought. I have two of them and I fill them up at the gas station, which I think is fine.
Yeah,
because it's diesel. It's not gasoline.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's down the street, so I have a short distance to travel. No, I've done it twice. I've sat there for like 15 minutes filling up this whole big drum full of diesel, and I think diesel is fine though, because I talked to Louis next door, who's my next door neighbor here at the shop. He knows literally everything, and he said he's done it a million times. He said you can't do it with gas though.
Yeah, gas. Yeah, don't whatever you do, don't buy fertilizer too. then you'll get put on a list, I think. So
if diesel's kind of hard to actually ignite, right? Like it doesn't light up like, you know, acetone or alcohol or gasoline. That's you got to compress it. That's the way a diesel engine works. You got to be under really high compression to
exactly.
So I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Just don't compress it.
You're fine.
Totally fine. I am looking at my gas bill right now, and part of the other thing might be because they have my thing on here as a commercial space, so maybe I might even be paying like a higher rate. But
that would be cheaper for commercial. You know,
I don't know. Dude, on Long Island, they make you pay to make money. There's no like.
Maybe.
So last month, my gas bill was $175. And between December and January, December 7th to January 7th, and I it was probably like the least amount of time I've spent in the shop with the holidays. And the least amount
how much
of time
is your electric?
And that's excuse me, and that's just one of the gas bills. I have another gas bill from the other room. So that
different meters for every room.
Yeah, because the shop's broken up like that. Like it was never really made as one space. So I have three electrical meters and two gas meters for that shop.
How much is your electric?
Let's find out. How much is your electric bill, Derek? Do you have a separate meter for the basement?
No, but I wish I had what's it called? That gas bill. I'd take that gas bill every month. My gas bill is like almost $400 a month.
And is that for the entire house though, including the?
I pay for the rental, but I'm saying just mine. Mine, I think, is like $385 a month. Wow. I pay for gas. Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive. It sucks. Paying bills sucks, you know?
Yeah.
My electric bill for last month is, I have three bills, $40, $140, and $90. So $350.
My electric bill is like $300 a month.
Yeah.
My wife leaves every goddamn light on in the house. The fucking airplanes fly over and they try to land in the driveway.
But, you know, again, like I didn't have like a busy month last month. So like it's kind of like a little bit skewed. But like when I have like a couple guys in there working with me and like Matt's welding and like Nicholas is using the grinder and I got all the lights on and I roll it into the job.
Welder sucks the life out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the three-phase stuff is good because the three-phase is super efficient.
Yeah, compared to single phase. Yeah, you're right.
But the 220, like running a plasma cut, you know, that takes 20 minutes at 60 amps, has got to just have that meter like spinning off the axis. That thing's probably like getting red hot.
Yeah. When I build a shop in however many years, once I'm able to, I'm going to put solar panels up on the roof.
Hmm. You could do all your lights with that. I mean, you could do a lot of work.
You could do everything. You could do, you put enough on there so it's producing excess power and it fills it back into the grid. And then that ends up paying for itself. There's companies that'll install them. And then for a certain amount of years, all the excess power that you produce, they take the profit from and it pays for the panels. And then after the panels are paid off, you keep the excess money, you know, that you make every month. That's what I would do. And then you could even do like, you know, use that probably to heat the place. You would do the heat in the concrete, like Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, this shop was so warm when I was up there last week.
Freezing up there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how warm it is. It's so comfortable. It's just so crazy. And it's funny because when we're up there, I told Chris, I was like, touch the floor. Like the floor doesn't feel warm. You know, it's not cold, but it's not like hot, you know, like it's just strange, but it's just so comfortable compared to how it used to be. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's super nice. That building is just awesome.
It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
I love the black too. It's cool.
I know. I thought the black was going to be horrible too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just thought it was I don't know. I just thought it was going to be like too much, but even like the other, like the metal shop, like that looks so cool. The way he did it with all the black and everything, it looks really nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's awesome. It's it's funny, like just being able to paint a car inside is is such a luxury. Like, wow.
That's three cars in there.
I know. It's so funny.
How big is that building?
It's 2,700 feet, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's 27 or 28 because I remember thinking about when he was building it, if he was going to do a full second floor, it was like a really big building. It might be under that. It might be like 2,300 feet on the floor.
It's a good size. It's big.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because it's so easily feels small when it's got random kind of stuff in it. When he had that big table in it and like 10 anvils in the back, it didn't seem like a big building. But then, you know,
when it's empty.
Yeah.
If you pick it up. And like if you put tools along the walls like you would in kind of a normal shop and left the middle open, it would feel massive.
Yeah, yeah. You walk in there and he's got, you know, a 10-foot lathe and a 12-foot lathe in there. It's like, you know, it just it starts.
He's got the torch, mate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were talking about. I'm not going to talk about what we're talking about because I don't know if it's public information. So, yeah, it was a good story, though.
That's great. We'll have to. So in the after show. Yeah. Stay tuned for the after show. and you can hear what the story was.
Actually, why don't you talk? I'll text them, see if we can bring it up.
Okay.
It's not a good story. It's just something we were discussing. But
oh, I have something I want to bring up.
Let's hear it.
And it involves it's not political, but it involves the little siege on the Capitol building.
Nice. Here we go.
And
you want to talk about the structural integrity of the barricades?
That's exactly what I want to talk about.
They use Florida braces.
Hey, who built the Capitol building? I mean, Jesus, they schoomfed that place up because they busted right in there. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't that place be like Fort Knox with bulletproof glass? They had like little thin wood doors. Like, shouldn't that place be able to withstand like a chemical attack or like a, like anyone? I mean, these guys are breaking in there with flagpoles and sticks and signs. And just smash it through the glass.
Any bodega in Brooklyn is more highly fortified than that building.
Right. Those like, dummies couldn't.
If that started happening at a bodega, the dude would pull down the gate and he'd be inside like this.
Yeah.
That's it. He'd be like, all right, suck on that, you know?
I cannot believe how easy, you know, it was to just break into that building.
Mm-hmm.
It blew my mind.
Yeah. I can't believe there aren't like, there isn't some amount of like blast door.
I know.
You know, like some even, sort of roll down gate that they could just do on, even on the front doors. The windows is one thing. I get it. It's a historic building.
No, I know, but you know, it's historic. The White House is historic, but the whole place is built like a bomb shelter. Like it looks historic, but the whole inside is probably brand new. But on the Capitol building, it's like there were like little thin glass windows. It's like, how is
that was shocking. I think it would be harder to get into my house than it would be that.
Yeah, cool, right?
Yeah, that was strange.
I know.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, the flagpole through the window was a little bit. I didn't see that one coming.
The Capitol building?
Yeah.
God. I don't know.
Yeah, there'll be some changes.
Yeah, because that was embarrassing.
Oh, you should go like slip up a Fairfield Steelworks business card down there. Maybe you could get that contract to fortify the front doors.
I mean, someone needs to, because God, that was like. You're right. It'd be easier to break in. It would be harder to break into a bodega.
I mean,
yeah, when they have those metal cages that come down in front of the windows.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take and you know, again, not to get too far into what happened, but like there was a long time where there were people were far away from the building, and there was like an established perimeter around the building that there was plenty of time for like if there were gates for them to go to and roll down gates. Like it's not like. Not like all of a sudden it was quiet and then people were at the doors.
Yeah,
there was plenty.
They didn't appear. Yeah.
I think part of the reason is because I mean before 9/11. I mean, Paul, you're a little bit young, but like when I went to DC as a kid, I mean, you went right in the White House.
Yeah,
like, they're all public buildings for the most part. I was shocked that they got into like the chambers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
get in the building itself. Like that's like, you know, it's a public building. Like they all were wide open before. Mm-hmm.
I was in the Capitol building. I did the whole tour.
Yeah. So like I said, before 9/11, you could just walk in and out of a lot of those places down there. I'm sure now you can't, but
yeah. Well, now you sure can.
Yeah.
Definitely can't do any of that.
I mean,
but yeah, that's an interesting thing. I don't know. No more high school visits.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. No more eighth grade DC trips for a while.
I think that's been out for a while, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of structural integrity, I, you know, Derek and Jimmy were there. We spent some time up at my mansion up in East Durham last weekend, and I made a little video, and I got a really great response from people about it, and it inspired me to actually, like, I want to spend some time up there and actually like do more with that property. And I think I have a couple different thoughts on it. Like my first was like, I just want to get the building gone, like just picked up and just, and carted. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the comments on the video were like, well, with the cost of lumber, like you should at least try to salvage some of it. Just to try to build something.
They didn't get a good view.
But I do want to cut out the windows. Like the windows are vinyl. So
dude,
like, why not?
I would trash every last bit. The amount of work to save those windows.
No, you just
Send Willie in there with a stick of dynamite and blow that thing up.
Pennywise, pound foolish.
Yeah.
So anyways, so what we were talking about when we were talking about the bond, we're saying all like the grind is in there and everything. And Chris, you knew about this. They want to do an event, you know, quarterly or monthly at the Blackthorn. Mm-hmm. And we were saying how he could get rid of a lot of his stuff that he doesn't need, that he houses there, because, mm-hmm. you know, he has, you know, 10 grinders in there. You know, he doesn't need 10. He only needs 7, you know, but, you know, like the welders and all that stuff. He could like set up shop there.
Mm-hmm. So house it there at least.
Yeah. So when he has classes again, people will be going there, and you know, and that will be like a whole.
So he's gonna do a little partnership with the Blackthorn for the future classes.
Gonna try to, yeah.
That makes sense. That's a good idea.
Yeah, and just kind of remove himself from that. Yeah. You know?
Well, even just, I mean, remove his house. Like,
yeah, get people off the property, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. When Angela and I talk about like moving like upstate or where I would build a building, like I would never have a class at my house once I built a building. Like I would. Rent, if I wanted to still teach welding, I would teach it. I would like rent a small garage and just like teach welding at a little garage with a couple welds, because you don't need a lot to teach a welding class. You need a steel table and 3 welders. Yeah, you know,
no one's coming to my house.
No,
besides you guys.
Yeah, having the Forged in Fire film crew there was far enough for you.
You missed that operation. That film crew was something else. It was like a kid. He looked like he was in 8th grade. And then another guy who was kind of in charge. It was unreal.
What did they shoot that show on? What kind of cameras?
It's like big, like TV cameras.
iPhones?
Dude. Well, I mean.
Yeah, I've heard some shows.
I got a friend who was on a show, and I heard they filmed theirs with iPhones. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
I know a guy who, while the show was being shot, the shooter producer said, oh, well, you know, he saw the phone that the person that was being filmed had and said, oh, well, at least if the phone that we're shooting on goes down, you've got the same one.
Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, is anyone going to be able to tell? Probably not. But
well, it is amazing when you see those commercials, though, like when they come out with like a new camera or whatever, or a new phone, and they film the whole thing. And at the end, they'll say like this whole, you know, commercial was filmed on, you know, iPhone, whatever it was. They did one with the iPhone and stuff.
Yeah.
And into one, you know, so they are good, but it's, yeah, it just.
That's under absolutely perfect conditions.
You know, yeah. But it's, you know, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when COVID first started, I saw like a clip on, I think it was the Food Network. I don't remember where I was, but they were filming a show for the Food Network. There was some cook, whatever, standing behind a counter. And then she was like, oh, I'm here with my like crew today. And she grabbed one of their, like she reaches towards the camera, right? And grabs what you would expect to be a big camera. And it's just an Osmo gimbal with an iPhone. And she pans the room. And then there's 3 other people standing there all with phones filming her.
Oh my God.
And this was like, you know, it was on the Food Network. But if she didn't do that, you never would have thought, I don't know, it was like Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray's not on the Food Network. Rachel Ray's got her own show.
She's not on.
Is she on the Food? No, I don't even know. What network is Rachel Ray on, though? Maybe she's on the Food Network. I know she's got her own show. I don't know. Could have been.
It's funny how they do that, though. You know,
you know, the phone films in 4K. I don't even film my YouTube videos in 4K.
Yeah, that's true. It does film in 4K. Well,
it's funny because I'm on a chat with a bunch of guys in a laser group, and they're real. I really don't know any of them, but they're real helpful. They do some like crazy stuff. Those pictures I had posted of the elephant, I don't know if you guys seen it. I think it was a bumblebee too. Did you see those in our thread? They had done those, but
those are also available in the after show.
Yeah, but they were saying, I want to post to YouTube, but I got to get a camera, I got to get this, I got to get that, and I was like, dude, I was like, there's a lot of people that that do, you know, YouTube and stuff like that on iPhones. Mm-hmm. You know, they edit it all and everything. You know, that's all with a laser.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
You absolutely do not need to go and buy a camera if you have an iPhone. Wow, there's like, you can spend $6 on the little adapter that makes it go on the tripod, and that's it. That's all you need.
Funny enough,
this friend that was involved with that TV show that was shot on iPhones, the show wasn't even shot in 4K. It was just shot in HD on the iPhone. That's it.
It was 720p.
Which I thought was weird because you'd think at least you'd shoot it in 4K and then down-res it to HD so that it would be like extra, extra crisp. But I don't know. Do you shoot in 4K, Paul? Was your last video in 4K?
No. It just takes up extra space.
That's what I was thinking.
Like four times the space.
Somebody was telling me that, you know how Alex Steele, did you guys ever see that Alex Steele sold a lot of his episodes to the History Channel UK?
I saw that.
And like, for those of you who aren't familiar, everyone knows who Alex Steele is, but he had a show on the UK version of the History Channel where it was just basically his YouTube videos, but he narrated them and they were recut into like a whole series on the History Channel UK. And someone was telling me, I think it was a guy I know that worked for Vice, that Netflix won't buy anything that isn't shot in 4K. So like, let's say you had a cat, like the reason he was able to make that deal was because he shot all those videos in 4K and the footage was already done. He probably made a lot of money on that deal.
Yeah.
And it was all work he already did. And he just had to give them the footage and, you know, license it for however long. But
it's a pretty sweet deal.
Right. It's great.
It's funny. Chris Burton, the kid we were just talking about, A Glimpse Inside, he shoots everything on his iPhone and edits it all on his iPhone, like during his lunch.
Editing seems like a pain in the ass on iMovie on the iPhone.
It's funny. So on the iPhone, iMovie, if you go into the iMovie app, it's different than if you have a video and you try to edit it and you choose iMovie. And then if you open up the app, it behaves differently on iPhone.
Yeah, you got to use the app.
Yeah, you have to use the app. But he uses like Video Pro, or a lot of people use it. I got a subscription to it and I tried it. And
Filmic Pro.
What is it?
Filmic Pro is the one that you shoot with.
Yeah, it was just difficult. I like to sit at the laptop and, you know, just be able to, you know, just touch more buttons and stuff, you know, sliding and double tapping and
bigger
stuff
screen
like
too.
That.
Well, they have Premiere for the iPhone now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a Premiere like Creative Cloud for the iPhone. When I used to work in the city, there was a guy that lived in my town who worked for Vice, and we would always kind of bullshit YouTube while it was funny because like, and I don't know, Derek, I don't know if you ever commuted by train, but like you have people that you commute with, but you don't want to sit with because you both have your own shit to do. Yeah. So like, but we had a good understanding where we would bullshit on the platform and then we would get on the train and just walk in separate directions. Like neither of us had any interest in sitting next to each other because we both had shit to do. But so we would always catch up for a couple minutes. And he was interested in YouTube because he worked for Vice and obviously was a much bigger production. But we were talking one day and about how when Vice has people out on location, sometimes they'll film and edit on their phones completely and they'll use Premiere on the phone to do it.
Wow.
You know, why not? I mean, it's a great tool. I mean, the freaking phones are over $1,000. That's more expensive than most cameras.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
I know.
I don't even know what this phone does different for me.
Which one do you have?
I got the brand new one, whatever the new one is. Three cameras. 12? All these different things. Is that what, the 12? Yeah,
the 12. Cameras. I think I have the 11 Pro. I don't know.
It's got the one with the new one that just came out this year.
Yeah. This is last year's, but with the three cameras.
Oh, okay.
Same
here. Stupid glass back that breaks immediately.
This one doesn't have a glass back.
You see the crack.
Which is not. I mean, can you imagine these bastards put glass on the back of the phone, too?
I know.
When the iPhone 11 Pro first came out, you guys know that website iFixit. They do the teardowns.
Yeah.
I happened to just like the phone came out. I happened to like stumble upon a video and they were talking about how to change the back glass of the iPhone 11 Pro. Was one of the hardest things that Apple had like ever done, you know, cause they have like a scale of what they call repairability, you know, like if something is easy to repair, if like impossible, and like the back glass was like a 10 out of 10 difficulty. But it's like the easiest thing to break. It's a huge plate of glass.
That's glass. I didn't realize that was glass.
You'll realize when you break it.
Yeah, when it starts to crack.
I got my 11 Pro, and I had it for 2 days, and I was talking to Jimmy, and I changed my bit in my CNC, and I loosened the collet, and the V-bit slid down, landed right on the screen. And I was just like sick. Instantly, I heard it and I seen it crack, but it was the screen protector. I couldn't believe
the screen protector saved you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Those are good.
I thought it was going to go through the friggin' into the electronics. That thing's so goddamn sharp. It's the one with the insert knife.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's carbide. It's tungsten carbide. Yeah. You could drop it on your window and break it. Paul, you had weld spatter burn through your screen a couple times, right? I've had that happen.
I made a hole in my screen right to the actual, like,
board
LCD LED screen, and it was still worked. Really? There was like a little spot in it. There was like a hole in the glass. It was crazy with cracks, like spider cracks around it.
It's amazing how your camera lens, it screws that up right away.
Oh yeah, yeah, and also they make the camera lens. They decided to extend the little delicate camera lens out from the back of the phone.
Oh God!
So it's the first thing that hits the table when you lay your phone down on the table.
One of the first things I got from my iPhone 11 was they actually sell tiny little screen protectors that stick on.
I just saw that today.
And the first ones I put on, like, would slide around, and then I got, like, they're like $2. And then the next ones I got stayed, because I was worried about that too, because I figured, like, you know, in the shop, I'm just going to break these little cameras.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only reason why you buy the new phone is because it's got a good camera. I don't know.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. It's like they sell
it. I have a great case, so I
get
the designing it so the phone breaks.
Well, I think we talked about this in one of the other episodes, but like I listened to an interview with Steve Jobs when the first iPhone came out, and he like didn't want people to be able to make cases, and he never wanted Apple to ever make a case because he didn't want to encourage people from using cases because he thought it was a disgrace to the amount of energy that went into the design. He was like, why would we ever make a case to hide the beautiful design of our product? It's like, well, you know, great. So that like the phone is literally like slicker than eel shit. It's made out of glass.
I bet those
explodes.
I bet you saw it last time. It's like a bar of soap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was probably talking about like the first couple, which were probably weren't prone to breaking. Like the first iPhones were totally different. So maybe he was talking about that back then.
Yeah.
And then he's dead now. So they're like, you know what? We're going to make every phone as fragile and as slippery as possible. But we still buy them. I'm going to buy an Android.
He never uses a case, and I'm like, I couldn't even take my phone out of my pocket without a case.
Oh, it's crazy.
I know I won't even touch it. I'm like, put it in a case before you even hand it to me, you know. But it's funny. It's like
I knew a guy who was like a real elitist douchebag, and he never wanted a case because he wanted to show off that he was rich enough that he didn't care if he dropped his phone and broke it.
It's not even about the money. It's just about the hassle.
I know. Who wants to go to Apple, especially nowadays? But my thing too, it's like, I love my iPhone. I think it's like the best thing ever made. And yeah, I totally bought into all the Apple shit. I love it all.
I love it too.
But my thing is like, I could never get a fucking, like with work, we have Samsung Galaxies, the nice one. And I tell you, it sucks. It looks good. The camera's decent.
Yeah.
But
you're like glitchy, right?
Yeah, the keypad on it and shit, dude. Oh my God. With fat fingers like me, sausage fingers, it's like, it's a nightmare. It just the iPhone is 1,000 times better than that.
Yeah.
Not sponsored too, by the way.
They do make a nice product.
They do. You pay a lot for it.
They make a nice product. We're all suckers, and we just follow. Like they took all the ports off the laptops, and all a bunch of assholes.
I have a bunch of dongles.
Like, give me less. There was an ad. There was like a spoof ad where like Apple was going to come out with a laptop that you could only use once and you couldn't charge it. You would just use it till it died. Then you'd throw it out and it'd be like $6,000 and we would all still fucking buy it.
That's like my laptop right now that's currently plugged in and not charging at all. So if this power cord gets knocked out, it's going to just shut the whole computer off. I'm going to lose this episode.
I think that was actually – my sister just got a brand new battery for free from Apple because they had a recall on their battery. So you might be able to just put it in and get a
new battery. Because this is a brand new battery because remember when my mom closed –
you just got it done.
My mom closed the charger on my screen and cracked the screen. So they replaced like the touch bar, the screen, the battery. Everything got replaced, and now this battery is like like shot. It won't charge.
That's the downside of this stuff, though. When it breaks, it goes down hard. Like, it doesn't ever get glitchy. Like,
yeah.
Like, up and give you a warning. It just dies. And there's no coming back from it. You know?
What do you
Yeah, it's, you know, but you're all... I'm never going to get a different phone.
No, I'm never going to not have an iPhone, you know, until something actually better comes out. I'm never not going to have a Mac.
Mm-hmm. I know. Somebody recently was asking me about running parallels. Who was it? Maybe it was you, Derek.
It was us.
And it's like, even like, I only use two freaking programs on parallels, and like, even that's annoying.
It's like, so just
it's the going last into night, windows is annoying.
Last night, the guy that was helping with the laser, he's like, he goes, "Oh, I'm gonna send you a file and use it on RDWorks." I'm like, "Oh, I don't use RDWorks." He goes, "Well, you're gonna have to use RDWorks to get the file and this." I'm like, "Can you use it on a Mac?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Oh."
Can you block them?
I just got rid of the Mac out of there. It's like, that is like the best thing. That's what, like, that's the one thing I hate about the CNC. It's like, can't you use it on a Mac? It's like, what? I hate that.
Yeah.
The computer just sucks.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, I just saw Keith Decent just set up the big MakerMade CNC, the Maslow, the one that, like, hangs on the wall, you know? Yeah. And he bought a computer. He posted on his story. He spent, like, maybe $200 on a computer from Best Buy. And he runs – I guess the Maslow probably needs to be plugged in all the time. So, like, obviously it makes sense to just buy a cheap computer and just let it be there running it. That's how the X-Carve was.
Yeah.
But, like, if you actually have to do anything on that computer, Derek, I think you and I talked about this.
That's
like,
the problem.
You got to, like, look up. You got to make a little change to the file. Now you're using some shitbox computer that for the first week works probably fine for $200. And then it gets 9,000 viruses the first time you go on Internet Explorer. And it's, like, not worth the wait.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens, and it's like, it drives me crazy. It always wants to update everything. It wants to do this. It wants to do that. It gives me, like, these stupid fucking – I can't stand that thing. I hate it.
Yeah.
What the hell is even in a computer that makes it a computer? Like, what – this stupid – this chip, silicon or whatever, somehow – like what even is it?
From computers to implants.
I don't know.
Silicon's unbelievable.
I don't know.
Is that not the same? Well, that's silicone, right?
Oh,
no.
Silicon.
Different uses.
I think silicone is different than silicon or whatever the hell is in a computer.
Yeah.
I think it's like a mineral or some type of metal or.
It's like more.
If your computer is slow, you know, like the ports on the side, you just inject. You got to get the good silicone from Home Depot, the good stuff.
The GE stuff.
GE with the 10-year warranty. Squirt that shit in there, and then it'll be faster.
Like, I built a computer. It's sitting right next to me, this Windows computer. But, like, you don't have to know anything about computers. You just, like, have to look at how to connect
the wire.
I don't know shit about programming computers or anything. Mm-hmm. All I know is I picked, like, you know, cool graphics card or whatever and cool wires and fans and shit.
And lights, LED lights.
Yeah,
I was just reading about Apple has a new chip that they just – came out with it.
Yeah,
Paul, this is probably before.
That's what I was going to say. My friend Johnny just was telling me about this.
Yeah, but before, even just like when I was younger, Apple always used their own processors, right? They used like G4. I think it was G5 was the highest that they went to. And then they started getting Intel based Macs. And that's when you could put Windows programs on Mac. Before, you used to never be able to put parallels on a Mac because it wasn't an Intel-based computer. When they first came out with the Intel Macs, it's when they really broke into the market and people started buying Macs if they weren't like creative, kind of off to the side people, because you could get Microsoft Word. That was like the big deal.
Yeah.
Because I remember my first Mac when I was in high school, I like saved up money and my grandpa, who was a professor at a college, helped me get the education discount to like, you know, which was substantial back then. It was like $400 off of retail. And I remember when I got it, people being like, "Oh, you got a Mac? Like, so you can't use Microsoft Word anymore? Like, how are you going to function?" And I remember being like, "No, you buy Microsoft Word for a Mac." But so now Apple now made their own chip again, this M1 chip. And it's like, it's so crazy because the most expensive 16-inch MacBook Pro is like $3,500, and it's not as fast as the $1,000 MacBook Pro that has the M1 chip in it, which is half the price.
Oh, wow. Wait, so their chip is that much better?
Their chip is two times better than the best PC laptop chip wow. that exists right now. And wow. I want to get a new computer, but now I would feel like an asshole if I didn't get one with this chip.
You got to wait for the good chip.
But they only make it in the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and I don't really want another 13. I want a 15-inch. Well, you
know, they're going to come out with one in a couple months.
Oh, yeah, but it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, I was literally right before Christmas, I was about to buy one, and I'm glad I didn't. But
I've been saying that. I got to get a new computer. Now I can wait.
Got to wait for the M1.
It's already out in the small MacBook Pro.
Oh,
but
really?
Yeah, so the 13-inch MacBook Pro, you can get it, and it's, like I said, it's only $1,200, and it's faster than the $3,000 wow. MacBook Pro that doesn't have the M1 chip.
I have the 13-inch one. The 13-inch one's fine.
I know. Yeah. I should just buy.
Did you just get that one, Derek?
Because the 16-inch, like, with
it's
everything,
big, the graphics, heavy.
It's $4,000.
Yeah, forget that.
That's the thing, though, is if the, like, now when the 16-inch with this M1 chip, which is supposed to come out in the second quarter, the base model of that computer will be better than the current $4,000 16-inch one.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to hold it because I have a 15-inch laptop. That's what I've used for like 6 years now. So to go down to a 13-inch, I feel like would probably really suck. So I'm going to get a 15, 16, who gives a shit. But I think that, like, if you needed a computer today, like the 13-inch MacBook Pro with this chip thing
with
for $1,200 seems like it's like the best thing you could buy. It's wild. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now they got that great. Their financing is like, it makes it so easy to buy shit because they'll do 0% for 12 months. Yeah. They instantly approve you for the credit card. And,
oh wow.
Hey, you know, my mom bought an iPad yesterday. It's $120 a month.
Now you know what I never use is an iPad.
Yeah,
iPad seems like something elderly people use. Like my grandma uses an iPad. Like she plays Scrabble and that's it.
Yeah. You know, they use it a ton in the construction industry. I see a lot of guys. Yeah, a lot of
I guess it maybe some more advanced
construction industries.
You know what it is? It's the punch listing and stuff. So like today, they were punch listing my job and a guy's got an iPad and it's literally got like a shoulder strap on.
Oh yeah.
It almost looks like a handbag, but it seemed useful because the guy's walking around, he's taking photos, he pulls out the pen, he writes right on the photo. And then use a project management software called Procore. And he's immediately uploading. It's crazy. He uploads the photo to Procore and it puts the photo on the floor plan with a pin.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you're the painter and you go, hey, what touch-ups do I have to do? You pull up the painter punch list and a floor plan displays with pins all over it.
Oh, wow.
You push on a pin, it shows you where in the room and then a photo of the touch-up so that you can just go through and take care of exactly what you have to take care of, nothing more, nothing less. And then for closeout, as long as everything on the punch list is done, you get to leave and you get to get paid. So it's interesting. I don't know. It's a new way to kind of do a job, you know, like
that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
But you know what killed the iPad is this phone being 8 inches tall and 8 inches wide. This phone's massive. It doesn't even fit in my pocket anymore.
And like, do you have the Max?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. You it's can't get big. The
Max. They made this one even bigger than the 11 or whatever, the one I had before this or the, I don't know which one was before the X. I forget the one I had, but it's even bigger now.
Yeah, can't do that.
Problems.
I don't know.
How many problems do you think we have left?
I don't know. We've been
probably a lot.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they're all waiting for the after show.
We got to spice this up a little bit.
Yeah.
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 So, Derek, it looks to me as though you've been making sawhorses for for ants.
Yeah. Yeah. No, people are wondering how it all started. So, a guy contacted me and he said, hey, I need little sawhorses. Can you make me some? So I thought it was somebody like goofing on me. And I'm like,
He needs them or he wants them? Like he has a use for these or he just wants them in his shop? Because he thinks they're
so that's what I didn't know. So he's like, I'm like, I don't understand. Like, what do you, so I said, what do you, I said something like, what are you making or something, right? So he starts sending me pictures of like furniture and stuff he makes in his shop. He's like an accomplished woodworker and makes nice stuff. So I'm like, why do you want me to make them? And he's like, well, two things. I want something made from you, and I like to use them in my shop. He goes, when I'm doing stuff, he says, kind of like the painting, like pyramids. He goes, I like to put stuff on in levels on my bench. I run out of bench space. So he said, if you can make me, two sets of the 6-inch ones and two sets of 12-inch ones, I'd appreciate it. I'll pay you for them. So I was like, dude, I don't even know what to charge you for these. He's like, whatever, just let me know where to send the money. So now I'm like, something's up here.
What the hell's going on?
I'm like, it just was really weird.
Is he the formerly
deposed? Where are you sending these, to the North Pole?
Yeah, exactly. So end up, like I said, talking to the guy, who was a nice guy and everything. So I said, all right. So I posted a picture of him on Instagram, and I got so many messages, everybody saying, hey, you're going to be selling these? I said, you know what? I'm not going to just sell them to these guy. I'm going to put them on my Etsy store. So I put them on my Etsy store, and I sold a bunch of them. And that's how they came to be. So if anybody needs them, I'm sure I'll still have some left, because I cut a whole sheet of them. Yeah. I was like, screw it. It's a sheet of plywood, 3/8. I tried to do it with the laser, but I was having issues. It was taking out too much material, so they weren't fitting real tight. Mm-hmm. But, I just didn't have the time or the patience to deal with it. I should have just stuck with that. But I ended up using the CNC. And that was kind of like the whole hold up with this guy. I told this guy, listen, if I use the CNC, I got to charge you at least $150 for these things. I don't care how many you want, because I'm not setting it up and all this stuff. And he was like, that's fine. And I says, well, let me see if I can do it with the laser. And I was able to cut the 3/8 fine with the laser. But like I said, I was just losing too much of the material. Yeah. So I just said, I gave up. I was like, screw it, I'll just use the CNCs. When people started saying they wanted them, I did that. So I shipped out, like yesterday, I shipped out, I think, like probably 15 sets of them. So, wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Why not?
Yeah. And a lot of people commented like, oh, you should put your name on them. And I did on the ones I sent out. But, Jimmy had the idea. And I asked Jimmy first. I was actually, on the phone with him. And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Use it. But I just didn't feel right putting my name on it in the picture that I posted, just because I felt it was, disrespectful to him. So if anybody's wondering, did I see that somewhere before? You did see it before. And Jimmy had made them full size ones.
Did you use in Jimmy's file, or did you generate your own file?
Yeah, Jimmy made. I had that file. He posted that somewhere before. I forget on what website he had posted it on something. So it exists somewhere in the world. Mm. Like, I don't know, like one of those, what are those websites where they share stuff? Like, you know what I'm saying?
On Instructables or something?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was on one of those.
Cool.
But, yeah.
So, well, I mean, they're cool shit. I could see a use for them if you're working on doing stuff and you want to stain the bottom or something. I use those little stupid triangles, and I don't know. I don't love the triangles.
Maybe if you're a little person.
Yeah, really, 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 really little.
It's funny. I thought those triangles were the dumbest thing, and I do use them a lot, but they do, it is what it is. It's, you got to do something. You got to flip something over and paint the other side. They come in handy, But,
I mean, 100%. There's no way to say that they're not useful.
I stood on the sawhorse.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it was on a rubber
triangle,
mat.
Right?
I was cheating. It was on a rubber mat. I don't know if that would have held me on a cement floor, but the rubber mat kind of
just was just chilling out.
Yeah. So, but. That's
so funny.
Yeah.
What's your next project, Eric?
Aside from
sawhorses.
I'm still doing it. So funny. I got another call for another pachinko machine, and I'm making another one of those.
What the hell is a pachinko machine? I keep hearing pachinko machine. What is that?
It's like a Japanese pinball. Like, they're popular in the 70s. So.
Oh, wait.
It looks like.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like
let me look that up right now.
group that like uses them for like they rebuild them with like modern electronics and stuff like that. But I'm doing that. My eyes are so bad. I can't see across the room on my board. I have a bunch of stuff I got to do. I'm doing a sign for Luke and Priscilla, and I'm doing it for their shop. Nice. And yeah, it's coming out nice. I feel bad. They keep messaging me like they seen like it in the background, and I'm changing the color of it. Like it's like a 3-step process. And the color it is, it's kind of bad looking. And they've seen it, and I'm like, oh, shit, I hope they're not like, oh, is that the color? You know, but whatever. But they're all excited about it, so that's fun. I'm hoping that'll be done by the end of – I was going to be done the end of this week, but I ordered the wrong treatment for it. So I'm waiting for that to come in. So
nice.
But, yeah, yeah. But other than that, nothing. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll make my way to Long Island, you know?
Yeah. I got to finally build my welding table with Paul's plate.
Oh, yeah.
That's the plan. I've been thinking a lot about it too, because I was, I saw that vice stand that Chris Cash made out of the old radial drill.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
And I've always wanted to make I have a bunch of face plates from old lathes. It was like this guy that, I found on Long Island. He was like this old machinist. I probably showed you guys videos of his shop. He had like an insane shop in his basement. Like he had like a 14x70 lathe in the basement of his house that him and his brother had brought down in pieces. I found him because I was on the Craigslist, and I think I was typing in anvil, and he probably has 100,000 pounds of steel stock in his basement that he was a machinist and a repairman for all these Long Island manufacturing companies. And then as they would close, they would call, you know, when like a plant would close, I guess back in the day, right, you wouldn't have an auction. You would just call, you know, a bunch of guys would get phone calls and they'd come and take what they wanted and they'd leave. So this guy has like a basement with more stuff in it. Dude, I mean, if you think that I'm bad.
Oh, it must be crazy. I'm listening to you.
I'll send you the video. He had more material, Paul, in one place than like I've ever seen in my life, aside from at like a real steel supplier. And he was selling steel stock for, I think he was charging 25 cents a pound. Like you would pick what you wanted.
Wow.
And then he made it on a bathroom scale and you'd pay him whatever it was. So like Matt bought some stuff for making like foot pegs and whatever. And he had 3 beautiful anvils in his garage. And it was pretty sad. The guy had really bad arthritis. He could barely make a fist. And he said that his kids all went into like law or finance and they had no interest in anything that he had. And when I tell you, like when he dies, they will not be able to get these machines out of his basement without digging out a hole next to the foundation and cutting a bit like a Bilco door in. It's going to be insane to get this shit out.
Is there some good stuff down there though?
He had almost the machinery was kind of from a vintage pre what I would want, you know, like he had an old 30-inch bandsaw, you know, with no covers and like, you know, which is, it's nice to have, but like you wouldn't trade your bandsaw. You wouldn't trade your do-all for it. Yeah. He had an old Camelback drill with an auto feed down that he was like, oh, that's the best. You just set the auto feed. You go upstairs, you make a cup of coffee, you come down, you got a hole in the plate, you know. He had a couple of lathes. One, he had a beautiful small Italian lathe that was one kind of an older style where like, you know, there's a bunch of belts involved and, you know, the kind of thing where like, if you took it apart, it'd probably never go back together. Mm-hmm. And that was the one he would like, oh, I'll never sell that one. You know, the only one that you would really want is the one that he would never sell. But really nice precision stuff. But the point of this was he had all these face plates for like 20-inch swing lathes. So like a big round faceplate, you know, 18 inches in diameter. And when I was there, he was like, oh, you know, what do you do? Blah, blah, machine shop. And I was like, oh, you know, I would like see a faceplate on the floor. And I, oh, that's cool. Oh, he goes, you got to take it. You know, you got to use it for something. So what I wanted to make was like a rotary positioner out of one of those faceplates where you could spin it. Mm-hmm. So what I was thinking was if I build this heavy welding table to make almost like, you ever seen a swing out bench? Like a guy will put a swing out bench. I was thinking about making like a swing out rotary positioner that I could swing out off the side of the welding table and then clamp stuff to out of one of those things. And it looked just like the table on that vice stand that Chris Cash just made.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about ways to take this welding table, which would be kind of just like an ordinary steel table, and add some stuff to it to make it a little more interesting. I don't know. I think it'll be fun to make.
I want to
You should like rivet it all together, make some cool legs with like rivets. Remember that table I made with a little rivets?
I was thinking about doing some, I mean, they wouldn't really be structural because it doesn't need it, but I was thinking about making some cool brackets on the CNC.
Oh yeah.
Like spice it up and add a little bit of a little bit of detail to it. And I want it to be like stupid heavy. Like I don't want to be able to move it around. I think I was going to do it like the Rhino cart where it has leveling legs and then casters where if you raise the levelers all the way up, you could roll it.
Sake.
But I think I might just make it so that I can get the pallet jack underneath it if I have to.
I love it.
You don't understand. Oh my God. I have a video from today. So today I'm driving on the New Jersey Turnpike and there's a flatbed truck with a walk-in refrigerator that was about that was probably 20 feet long by 8 feet wide by 8 feet tall on casters.
Wow.
Like on 5-inch steel casters. And I took a video of it because I was going to send it to you guys just to be like, you think I'm fucked up. This guy is pushing literally like a building on casters.
When you and Angela buy a house, she's like, Chris, why is there wheels on our washing machine? And you're like, Angela, so like when it breaks, I could get behind, I could pull it out, I could get behind it.
Yeah.
Dude, Paul, you don't have this experience, but I know Derek has. Derek, when you go to fix an appliance and you go to pull it out and it has wheels, how nice of a feeling is that?
Well, I'll tell you two stories.
Wheels.
Sometimes a stove will have wheels in the back, so you just have to lift the front and then the stove will pull right out.
Well, listen to this. So the guy today, I'm trying to align my mirrors on the laser. And when I bought the lenses, they have a light you can put into it. So usually you do it from the tube out to the pot that cuts it. But this, you do it backwards. Mm-hmm. So you put a red laser in and you follow it backwards. So he's like, he goes, well, that doesn't usually do as good of a job. You might want to do it the other way. And I was like, well, honestly, like I really can't get behind the laser too easy. I was like, so it's just easier to do it this way, you know, because it's like a pain in the ass to pull it out and stuff. But our washer and dryer, it's a stackable, but it's like a full size. And we have it in a closet. So we've been here 25 years. So, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it died. We had to get another one and it was bigger. So the other one was plenty of room to pull it out. This one, you can't. Once it was in, it was in. And I'm up on the second floor. So what I had to do was I had to cut a hole in the wall, put an access door in, push it in there, and then do the plumbing through a doorway off a ladder, off an extension ladder, because it's next to the stairway. So the last time it died, it was such a pain in the ass to get it out. I'm like, I will never do this again. So I put it on those things, those discs that you put under furniture to slide it around.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I put WD-40 all over the floor. So slide in there. So when you take that dryer out now, there's like a puddle of WD-40 underneath it. Like, oh, I was just God. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I couldn't get it in and out of there, dude. I'm an old man. I'm getting elderly.
Dude, that's so it's funny because the stack washer and dryer that I put in at the beginning of last year, I wanted it to be really tight up against the wall. So I got one of those dryer vent kits where you basically have to like it has to be like perfect and it just kind of clicks in. Yes. So I was going to push it in and I have an old wood floor up there that every time one of the little feet would kind of like catch the wood, it would bind. So I got those like pucks, the sliding pucks, and I just like crouched down and I slid it in. And you know, the first time, obviously, I heard it just crush the aluminum fitting and destroy it. Had to redo it.
Too hot.
But, you know, it worked eventually. I didn't have to slather the floor with WD-40, but that'll come soon.
I don't care. Yeah, I was like, I don't care. It's just too much of a pain in the ass. I'm too old for that shit. I was just going to replace it. It broke last year, and I just spent like $300 in parts, and I wanted to get a new one, but I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with this goddamn thing. You know, just if it lasts another 20 years, I'll be happy.
I bought my washer and dryer 2 years before I had time to install it.
Oh, God.
What the hell were you using? You just had another one?
I didn't have a washer and dryer. I used to go to the laundromat.
His mother.
And no, hell no. I can't do laundry at her house.
Why not? You're not allowed?
No, it's just it's too much. Honestly, my mom had high, you know, we're really diving into it. My mom has high efficiency washer and dryer. So like a load of water takes like an hour and 40 minutes. You go to the laundromat, it's like 25 minutes in an industrial machine. You know, you put like seven pairs of jeans in it. And it's like, it was like $2. And the laundromat's also a walking distance from the shop. So
made it that's such a violation at my residence.
What's that?
I mean, a laundromat.
Well, oh, it's not sanitary. Oh,
dude, that's major violation.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
It's even, the stuff's even planned out to where the work clothes get washed. And then there's a system like
sterilizing the unit,
sterilization, so that like, you know, fine washables aren't washed immediately after the work clothes.
Yep. Yeah. I think I told you there was this family of plumbers that works near me. They went out and they bought a laundromat level washer and dryer, and all their work clothes at the end of the day, they bring a change of clothes. All their work clothes go in the washer and dryer, and they, you know, they wash them and they leave. That's it.
That I wouldn't be opposed to an industrial grade washer and dryer. You know what? I also say I would always love to do if I have a ton of money one day is for the dishwasher restaurant dishwasher
with the bin. You just put the bin in and close the door.
Yeah, dude, and it just boom, like in 5 minutes, the thing's done. Those things are
just great. Bought one in my building. That's, it was $7,000. Really?
Yeah, those are expensive.
Ridgeway. You sign a contract and they provide the soap.
Oh, really?
That's a constant battle in our house. When we got our dishwasher, I paid like double to have one so you didn't need to clean the plates. You put it in there and like the food, it has like the disposal thing in there. And Christina has to like wash them before she puts them in there. I'm like, why bother at this point? Like, she's like, oh, it's just gross, wet food in there. I'm like, that's the thing. Like, that's what it's all about. So, I don't know. I don't get involved with it. It's easier that way.
Oh, my God. Well, we've certainly taken a turn. So, what have you guys been watching as we close up on episode number 27?
I don't know. What
have you been watching? Come on, Paul. You gotta watch something.
I have a good story, story that I wanted to, that my mom told me, reminded me about.
Let's hear it.
Because I don't have anything good to about, like, you know, good thing to tell you guys that
thing to watch is just your own life.
Yeah. So this goes back, you know, years and years ago, when my sister was real little, like a baby, was given a doll, a baby doll that was like pretty realistic looking, and she named the baby for some reason. She named the baby White Baby, which I don't think has anything to do with race, but I think it was a baby came in a white outfit, maybe. But the baby, she named it White Baby, so that's just what we called it. The name stuck. I don't know. She liked to call it White Baby. I think it came in white clothes. I don't think it was because it was a white doll. But anyway, the baby was called White Baby, and it was pretty realistic. And my uncle and our friend Danny, who was part of the Schumpf story. He was the one who was talking to the guy about, you know, the Schumpf, when he said he was just going to Schumpf it. We used to go on vacation with them all the time. We'd go to like Nantucket or whatever, and they would take White Baby. And now we would have to buy White Baby real baby strollers and real baby car seats and care, like legit stuff. Like, we were buying this. My sister was like,
This is pre-horse.
This is when my sister was like really little, but she was obsessed with like the dolls, like being a
more expensive hobby.
So, yeah. But so this thing, there was this doll getting strolled around in like an expensive, like orbit stroller, like expensive shit. And so people thought it was a real doll. and they would take real the baby and they would be holding it in like the car seat or whatever the, what's the thing that they hold the baby in? Like when you could walk with it, but it's like a little, what the hell is that? Not a bat, but you know, it's like a car seat, but
the carrier.
Yeah, the carrier. Yeah. The little carrier. So my uncle would take it and would walk up to a crowd of people with the carrier and like drop the baby.
I love it.
In the carrier. And the people would scream and he'd go, oh my God. And he'd pick the baby up and he would rock the baby or whatever. And then one time he took the baby, we were in Nantucket and there was like a park with a, like a jungle gym. And he put the baby up on the top of the jungle gym and left it up there.
Oh my God.
But then this evolved into more dolls, more and more realistic looking dolls. And we still have these freaking things.
Until eventually your sister walked into like a nursery and stole an actual baby.
No. But there's these whole, like these people that there's got to be something wrong with them that they buy these like real, like super realistic dolls that are like handmade. And so we got one of these things and this, it was like scary and people really thought it looked like a real baby. And we've been out to dinner one time. We used to go to this nice restaurant and the baby was in the car seat. This is like years ago. And the people called the police on us because they thought we left the baby in the car and the cops were out there trying to get, they wanted to get the baby. Or I don't know if the cops ever came. It happened a couple times. Crazy shit. Like in the airport, they would have to check the baby doll for like swab it to make sure it wasn't a bomb. Like it just never ended with these dolls. Like constant trouble. My uncle would do stuff. My sister would get pissed.
How'd you break her of this? I want to know how this ends. One day she was just like, fuck this. I don't want to be a mom anymore.
Oh yeah. And you ask her this day, you'll ask her today if she wants to be a mother. She'll say, no, I'm not being a mother. I'm not doing that. That's too much work. I don't want kids. She'll say, I'm never having kids.
She's been through that.
She already went through. Yeah. She already had kids when she was like, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years old.
Those carriers you were talking about, when you put Olivia in one when she was a baby, she'd rock back and forth and like make it go across like the floor.
Oh yeah. So,
I got hurt. I forget what happened to me. Like I hurt something. I was in the emergency room. I was there all day and I can't remember what I was there for. And Christina had to work. She bartended at night when the kids were little. And, she's like probably paging me. It was that long ago. And I'm like, I got to leave. So I get up and I leave the emergency room. I just walk out. I don't tell anybody. I just leave. Right. So I get home and Christina's like, I'm going to be late for work. What the hell? And I was like, what do you want me to do? I was, I don't know if I need stitches or what the hell the story was. So anyways, she leaves and all of a sudden Olivia's on the table and that thing, she rocks it. She flips it over and she falls down on the floor. Oh yeah. So I take her to the emergency room, right?
Oh my God.
Doctor walks in. The doctor goes, oh my God, you've been here all day. I'm like, I'm here for my kid now, asshole. Right? And just she was the shape of it. She never got hurt. But I just never forget that I spent all day in the hospital, first for me and then for my kid. It's like,
God.
Me
and my father had to install hair into one of the doll's heads.
Right. Oh my God. Maybe you guys can do my hair. You could do my transplant.
We literally did a hair transplant on this doll because it started losing hair. And so we had to find this kit with a little like probe that would, this is crazy shit. We ordered this hair. My father plucked. My parents are the best parents on the face of the earth. He sat there and installed little bits of hair like a hair transplant into this doll. And the funny part was the hair came real long. So this doll had like a foot long hair and it was like a newborn baby. What's that? And then we had to give it a haircut, but then we took the hair. I took a picture of the doll. She was she was so protective over these things. I took a picture of the doll, like, you know, like those little troll dolls with the hair that goes way up. It looked just like that. And she made me delete the picture because she was so upset that I took a picture of her baby.
How dare you?
I was making fun of the baby. And then there's more. There's like 4 or 5 of these things. And then some were like looking like she was getting ones that were like preemies. I'm like, guys, we got to stop this shit. Things are like early Like, you better not. These things were born a couple months early, these dolls.
She's going to kill you in your sleep if she ever hears this.
Gia, no, she doesn't care. She's done. She hasn't looked at these things in year in forever. This is like when she was real little. But like, we have like just full-blown baby equipment.
Oh, like my night, God. Like you just reminded me of something. Go ahead.
What?
So it's so funny. Before we went on to record, I was on my Etsy page, and so go to Derek from Alden from on Etsy. But anyways, I was like, oh, you gotta see what the next new thing is on Etsy, right?
And I see something.
I go, fucking Paul is gonna love this reusable toilet paper.
Oh, no, my God.
Whoever came up with that should be shot in the head.
Dude, there's tons of people. You should read the reviews.
These people are animals.
We'll talk about it the next episode.
I already told everyone my process.
But you can read the reviews and stuff. People are like, it's so soft, and then like they have to like they're like ashamed of themselves, so they're like, it's not bad. I have a bucket with bleach in it that I throw them in. It's in the shower.
Oh my
that we
God.
Don't use. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's disgusting.
What is wrong with people,
dude?
The idea of putting a review of something like that,
dude, this tons.
2020 has made people far too comfortable talking about the way they shit. Like with like the bidet attachments that are selling for people's toilets.
I see those on podcasts all the time. They advertise.
Oh, you gotta get that. It's like, I don't want to know what you prefer in the bathroom. I'd rather just not know.
Yeah.
Some things need to be private. Yeah. Reusable toilet.
So, Derek, what have you been watching?
reusable toilet paper. No, you know what? I was watching. I think I gave him before. I don't want to give him. No, you know who I've been watching is. It's funny. I used to watch him a while ago, and then when he did the collaboration, I think somebody we talked about him, Ron Cavell. He does the.
The metal shape.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just watched a bunch of his videos. That's what's been in my history. I haven't watched much YouTube lately, but I like watching his stuff. He's like one of those guys that makes like difficult shit look so easy. Mm-hmm. And he's showing this like process where he's using, I think he calls it rollation, roller. He takes a part,
mm-hmm.
and he rolls it, and he traces it onto the paper to make the object, and then he cuts it like a pattern, and then he forms it out of aluminum. And it's just like one of those things that you're like, wow, I could do that. That's easy. But you just know it's not easy. You know, you just know it's like so difficult, you know. And it's funny, at the end, he'll like tack weld it, and then he welds it, and he finishes it, and he uses his like little sanders, and it's got like a perfect brushed aluminum finish at the end. It's just amazing. You know, the guy's been around. Like, I remember as a young kid watching like car shows, like he was always like the guest on it that they brought the car to do like form metal panels and stuff like that. So the guy's been around forever, but that's who I've been watching just in my history, just looking back real quick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of have like two this week. I watched, people have been telling me to link up with this guy about the house upstate, that guy, Andrew Camerata. He's got a YouTube channel. He's a little south of East Durham, but he's an excavator and an earthwork guy. And he's got his YouTube channel is baffling to me. He has 800,000 subscribers.
Jeez.
And he has videos that are 2 hours long.
Wow.
That have 1 million views and 2 million views.
I'd love to know the watch time on those.
He has videos that are like, I just saw one today. I was like clicking through YouTube, and it's crazy because he's got videos that are 10 minutes long that have 200,000 views. And then, like I said, he has a video like, I feel like he probably doesn't give a shit. He has a video that is called, which one was it now? I gotta find it. He had one that's called Installing a Plow on a Pickup Truck. It's 56 minutes long, and it has 800,000 views, and it's only 2 weeks old.
Wow.
Like, his view numbers are unbelievable, and he does a ton of amazing work. Like, he built this crazy house out of shipping containers and block. He calls it the container castle, And just that, like, he's got a video called Closing the Container Castle. It's an hour and 49 minutes long, and it's got 2.5 million views.
What's his name?
Andrew Camarata, Camarata. Anyway, he's not too far south of where my house is, and I hit him up and just said, like, hey, would you be interested in demoing this house? It was right after I made the video, and I just sent him the clip of the video, and I just said, here's a good idea of, like, you know, what the property looks like. Was that at your shop, Paul?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I sent him a clip of the property, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I haven't spoken to him about details yet, but he's going to hopefully be tearing down the building. He's got a video where he tears apart a mobile home with a track skid steer with the claw on the bucket. And it looks like it took him like 2 hours. Like, he just, like, basically grapples it and puts it in a container. But, that's kind of one of my picks. And then the other one is, I don't know if you guys saw the video that Alex Steele's channel put out today. It was Will making that little knife, but he did like a really interesting Damascus pattern on this little knife. And it came out so nice. It's like a four-way twist, Paul, like four twisted bars in opposite directions. Then he ground it out into an S curve and flattened it and made the knife out of it.
How many parts was the video series?
One part. It's a Will video, so it's like pretty concise, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just really good. So
like those 35 part video series is, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
I can't do it. The one part I'll watch.
Yeah. You got to watch part one and then like part 26. You just skip all the shit. In the
yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
I cheat.
What'd you say? You cheat?
I cheat. Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch them all. Skip through them, do all the odd ones or something.
Yeah.
But that's it. So thanks everybody for listening. Go ahead and listen to some other podcasts on the Makery Network. Go
make sure they review this one. Rate this and review it. Guys, we see how many listeners there are. Not as many reviews as I'd like to see based on the listeners, all right? So that boosts our whatever it boosts. It doesn't boost our pay, but it boosts our ranking on the podcast app. Maybe we'll attract new listeners that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And go subscribe to Derek from Malden on YouTube and go on Etsy. What's it? Etsy.com.
Etsy.
Derek from Malden.
Yeah, something like that.
You gotta know what it is.
Go on Derek's Amazon store.
Yeah. Go watch Paul's new video.
Yeah, watch my new video.
Steel bench.
How about the bench? The cantilevered bench.
That was a great video. It came out really good.
Thank you.
I love that thing. So that's it. Keith Johnson is gonna be on the Full Blast podcast on Friday of this week.
KJ, I saw that.
Friend of the Handmade podcast, yeah. Husband of Paul Pinto's high school counselor. Yeah, high school.
Which I found out Spring Make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
Keith is like one of the nicest people.
Oh yeah, he's so nice, and his wife is like the nicest lady ever. She was everyone's favorite at the school.
I've been calling him for a year. I got to call him to talk to him.
He's the nicest guy.
He's really nice.
Such a nice guy.
I spoke to Jeff today, and he said that the episode was great. This episode's going to come out on Wednesday, and Keith's episode of the Full Blast podcast will come out this Friday, and everybody should listen to it and all the other episodes of every other podcast that exists.
Nice.
So thank you all very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.